Going to go to Rob Lindstedt here in just 1 second. But before we do, let me remind you, if you like what we do here, folks, if you appreciate what we do here, folks, we have to have your support. Let's go over here to mystore.com real quick. Mystore.com. This is where you can get the My Coffee. Right now, it's only available at mystore.com. Go there, click on it, use the promo code B66. We get credit, and you get a big, about 25% savings here, folks, when you use the promo code B66. And again, you can get the coffee in light, medium, dark roast. You can get it in the whole bean. You get it already ground, 2-pound bags, 12-ounce bags. Low acidity, no non-GMO, certified organic. That means it's not sprayed, folks. That's exactly what you want. So check it out. You'll love it. We all love it here. Pete loves it. You've heard us talk about it. So get your cup, your order in today. I got to get me one of these Frank Speech coffee mugs. I don't know how I've been skipped over for that. You would think I would have automatically just been given one to put at the desk here, wouldn't I? But he got his Frank Speech mug. You saw him drinking his coffee out of it. So anyway, do go ahead, make your order, mystore.com. Use that promo code B66. You get savings, we get credit. That's how we fund and keep everything going. Then, of course, then go on over to mypillow.com, mypillow.com. Use that promo code B66 again for savings. We got a lot of buy one, get one free sales going. We got the new sandals, My Sandals. Look at that. Save 50% with the promo code B66. Of course, we got the slippers, the old model going out, getting ready for the new model. Use that promo code B66. We also have the six-piece towel set with promo code B66. Then when they're gone, they're gone. MyPillow bed sheets as low as $39.98 with promo code B66. The MyPillows, remember, these MyPillows are getting as low as what, Logan? Eight. That's the classic premium. But he's got one of them now that's as low as $19.88. So that's the Walmart special. Remember that? So again, the dog beds. Delta is in the room, but she's not on her dog bed right now. She's in the room, though. She's over there. You can get the MyPillow dog bed, the pet bed. Delta's got two of them. She has one in the studio and one in another location of the studio. All of these, great. The bathrobes are awesome. I love the bathrobes. I have this one here, this dark blue one. They're super, super comfortable. But use that promo code B66. Oh, here, the 3-inch topper set. This is great for the college dorm. These kids going off to college, they're going to need that. In fact, one of the kids that works for us said to me the other day, "Hey, Mr. B, I'm going to college, as you know, in the fall," and I guess he's going to Knoxville. And he said that the first thing on the list that the dorm gave him to get was a mattress topper. He said, so you might want to mention that on your show, because I hear you push that mattress topper, and you can tell your audience that even the school I go to, they said the first thing on the list, he said the first thing on the list for him coming to the school was get a mattress topper, because I guess the mattresses are that bad. So there you go. Get that for the kids going off to college. Okay, that's a great way to support us. I want to go back. No, I don't need to go back. I already did that. So anyway, support us. This is how we're here. We're listener supported, and we really appreciate your support. Great savings for you, and help fund all of it so everybody wins. Use the promo code B66. All right, joining me now is Rob Lindstedt. Rob, welcome back to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Where are you tonight, Rob?
Well, I'm in Spanish Wells, Bahamas, and wow, you talk about a beautiful spot. If you'd see how beautiful this spot is, matter of fact, I put a picture of it up on our webpage. If you'd see how beautiful this spot is, you'd be down here doing a live broadcast from here.
Well, the Bahamas is beautiful. That, there's no doubt about that. It is beautiful.
Yeah, well, we're having an enjoyable time. A lot of friends of mine have traveled with me to Russia, Romania, Israel, Egypt, even Burma, and so I'm down here having a crusade with them.
Well, good. Now, you called me today because one of the things you're tracking is the news and Bible prophecy, and I thought what you said today was very interesting because it's, you maybe don't know it, I've been saying this to other guests, and you're saying the same thing. It's causing us to rethink all of the ways we think about the Bible, talking about plagues, famines, pestilence. You know, I used to think, well, that's just what will happen during that time. God's bringing judgment and things are happening that, you know, are just beyond imagination. But now I'm starting to think that, yeah, God brings judgment, but it's also the consequences of man and their sin. And so now we're thinking about pandemics and plagues and pestilence and famine in a whole different way, are we not, Dr. Rob?
Matter of fact, here's my concern, because we find the idea of both pestilence and famine mentioned in Matthew chapter 24. And what's interesting there, when it talks about the idea of famines, it says this is the beginning of sorrows. In other words, this is going to happen very soon. I'm one who believes that before the tribulation begins, Christ comes back for the church, called the rapture of the church, who'll call us home. But I think we're going to see some difficult days if the Lord doesn't come soon. And here's why. We're watching people on purpose destroy the food supply. We're already seeing a shortage of food in our stores. Tonight, Tucker Carlson on Fox News, he talked about fertilizer and how it's in Canada. They're trying to ban it. We know what it's going to cause in terms of the Ukraine war. The Russian war is going to hurt fertilizer supplies. But even with those things not in play, we have people that are trying to destroy the whole food supply. And some of these are well-known people. For example, Bill Gates. Why is he buying up so much land? He's the single biggest landowner in America. I don't trust him. You know, here he is. He's a man who says that in order to make things good for everybody, we need to eliminate some of the population. Well, who's he going to eliminate? And so is it going to be with food? I think that that's something that's really important to consider.
Absolutely. Well, look at this headline right here. Logan, if you want to show this. This was a presentation I did well over a year ago now. Bill Gates thinks we should start eating 100% synthetic beef. So as he's buying up all this farmland, you know he's not going to be using it to raise cattle. I highly doubt it. And I highly doubt he's going to be using it to grow grain to feed the cattle. So what's he going to be using it for? Is he going to be sitting on it just so that he can take over the food to take, you know, take out the ability to produce it? Or is he going to be using it to put in carbon windmills and solar panels? Because look at this. I don't know if you know this, Dr. Lindstedt. This is a group called Breakthrough Energy. 51 billion tons of greenhouse gases every year. The world adds 51 billion tons of greenhouse gases to the atmosphere. Okay, Breakthrough Energy. Well, I did a whole show on this over a year ago. The carbon credit scheme, greenhouse gas credits, don't help the environment or consumers. General Motors Company and Fiat Chrysler have planned to survive a Democratic president. According to news reports, the auto giants have spent millions of dollars buying carbon offset credits from electric car maker Tesla. The government grants these credits to car manufacturers that over-comply with the Environmental Protection Agency's greenhouse emission targets, improving fuel efficiency or selling electric vehicles. Manufacturers with a surplus, such as Tesla, can sell their credits to other car makers, which enables credit purchasers to emit more greenhouse gas than the EPA allows. So you're going to have a limit put on you, how much so-called greenhouse gases you can emit. Then you have to buy credit, okay? Well, what do we find? The World Bank is pushing this idea, which is the United Nations. They're talking right now about, you know, what is carbon pricing? Phase out a price. The phase put a price on carbon has now become well known, with momentum growing among countries and businesses to put price on carbon pollution as a means of bringing down emissions and driving investment into cleaner options. Well, it goes on to talk about that. But guess what I found out in my research? I found out that this group, Breakthrough Energy, well, they want to jack up the price per pound for these carbon credits, for the emissions, and then charging companies this through what is called ESG, environmental, social, and governance, and eventually Americans as well. But as I studied Breakthrough Energy, I found out it was established by Bill Gates himself in 2015, and they want this to be a carbon tax. So it'll be a global tax. You bet they're going to work with the World Bank, the UN, and these big corporations and billionaires, and they'll be financially raping us. And who's going to benefit? The fascist system of big government and big business. And then I went on to find out that not only is Bill Gates the co-chair of the board, But then we also found out that there are other people involved, like John Arnold. I researched him. He's a real liberal. Jeff Bezos, Amazon. We got this Prince Alawid bin Alali. I mean, it just goes. Michael Bloomberg, who wants to take all of our guns. Richard Branson, another complete New Age leftist. So what we're finding is this may be why they're buying up the land, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't trust their profit motive, because look what they stand to make if we have to go to a synthetic meat. I don't know about you, but I'm not very excited about eating a synthetic hamburger. I got to tell you that surely there's something else. But to me, to do it under the disguise of being doing something very nice for the planet, no. What they have is exactly what fits into the plan of the Antichrist. I think they're advancing the plan of the Antichrist. I think Bill Gates, as smart as he is, as rich as he is going to become a pawn in the hand of the Antichrist. Because on my website, you'll see the quote by Henry Kissinger. This is all the way back in 1973. And what he says is so important, because the very three things that he talked about controlling is exactly what we read in the Bible in Revelation 13 that the Antichrist wants to control. Here's what Henry Kissinger says: who controls the food supply controls the people. Next, who controls the energy controls the continents. And who controls the money controls the world. And so if you look at the food supply, you look at the energy, you look at the money, that's exactly what they're trying to control. And in Revelation 13, it talks about the power that the Antichrist wants. The idea that you can't buy or sell except that you get approval, we're looking at that type of a process right now. The whole thing of digital money, it's for control. The whole thing of limiting food growth, it's for control. They want to make it so that as normal citizens, you've got to beg them for food, you've got to beg them for energy, you've got to beg them for every single thing we have. And so what the Antichrist is going to do is to try to trade our freedom, and he's going to get it by fear, by control, by power. We've been warned about this. And so I really think that we will see some food shortages. Probably in America, we're not going to suffer as bad as some of the countries. But the truth is, this is planned famine. It's not a famine because of a natural disaster. It's not a famine because of the environment. The whole idea of a green environment, it's ridiculous. What good does it do if we have a green environment and a green earth if we have no population? Why do these people think that they can play God and decide which 3 or 4 billion people are going to be eliminated because of lack of food or because of any other health situation they have? To me, this is a very dangerous situation, but we're warned about it in the Bible. That's why it's so important that people get back to the Bible, get back to church, get back to God, because the Bible warns us about these things in the last days.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, as you probably know, China is purchasing farmland like crazy as well. And
absolutely.
Now I've been reporting at Worldview Report that China is now purchasing a bunch of farmland near a very sensitive military base up in North Dakota. And yet also I have experts like Trevor Loudon and others that say that China controls enough members of the U.S. Congress in Washington, D.C., that China can decide what legislation passes and what doesn't when they're really interested. They don't get involved in every piece of legislation. But if there's a piece they want passed, they can get it done. If there's a piece they don't want passed, they can probably stop it. I actually was talking to a friend of mine this morning who retired recently. Was inside a government agency that provided intelligence information and data to about the total. I think now we're at 17 or 18 intel agencies. I think we're up to 18 intel agencies. And that the group he worked for provided intel data to those agencies. And he had 600 officers answering to him. He just retired in October, a friend of mine for 15 plus years now. We were talking about this, and he said, "Brandon, let me make it very clear to you. The reason the Democrats are working so hard to take away the guns of Americans is because China doesn't want Americans to be armed." He said, this is a military officer and high ranking at one time inside the intelligence arena with 600 people in the intel community answering to him. He had the corner office. He said, what's stopping China from invading us right now is the largest standing army in the world, the American people. And if they can disarm us, then that's going to be the green light for them. And I mention this because there's a Chinese general who gave a speech several years ago that talked about invading us, killing off 2/3 of Americans with chemical weapons, biological weapons, and then keeping around 1/3 of us to be their servants. And they would use our land. They'd use our land to grow food for their, 1.5 billion people they got. And when you see how tight Bill Gates is in with the WHO and the Chinese, and lots of reports have come out by different groups in the last 2 weeks, enhancing even more closely his relationships to China, you have to wonder if he's not buying up the land for many reasons, but it'll also benefit, I think, my opinion, his colleagues, China.
We found ourselves in a compromised situation because look what's taken place even at the top office of the land. We have bribes that we know were made to through the president's son. We see him going soft on communism. We see him going soft on China. And when you see all these things and we see that there's not one of these things that's taking place that's for the good of the people, but instead what's been done is by deceit, by trickery, by lies, they're doing everything they can to control the American people. I really feel that this is an indicator that there's such corruption in world government. No wonder these leaders will turn their power over to an antichrist. They want money, they want power. They could care less about people. And if it costs millions or billions of lives, they're willing to sacrifice that because it gives them additional power, it gives them additional wealth. I think this whole thing fits into the end time scenario. There's a chart that, again, we put there. It says, when does the Antichrist appear? And I think if people get that chart, it's free for the download. And then they recognize that of those 21 judgments, the very first one, or it's actually number 3, the third seal that's broken has famine. So we know that this is going to occur very soon in the tribulation. I'm concerned. I look what's taking place this fall. I think we're going to see a real downturn in food production, a real upturn in food prices. Couple that with the inflation, the oil shortage, and really this country is in some severe trouble.
Look at this chart. Folks, you can get this chart and download it. You can get it as a PDF, print it off at BibleTipNow, BibleTipNow.org, stands for Bible Truth and Prophecy Now, BibleTipNow.org. When does the Antichrist appear? You have the rapture, the removal of the church. No, I'm sure, I haven't checked, but I'm sure there are people on the social media site in the comment section. There's one or two characters that come on here and that mock you and me when we mention the rapture of the church. Now, I have friends that do not believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. They're mid-trib, mid-trib, they're post-trib, they're pre-wrath or amillennial, whatever, and we're still friends. But you believe, but we have one or two people that like to come on while we're on the air and make comments and ridicule you, go after me. You don't believe in the rapture of the church because you just have an escapism. You believe it because you believe it's clearly taught in the scriptures, correct? The removal of the church before the 7-year tribulation, correct?
I believe it because it's the plan of God. You see, the plan of God is not something that we vote on as a population. The plan of God was established by God. Yeah. When he created the earth, when he set things in motion. And he's promised that judgment would come when we disobey the rules of God, when we violate the holiness and righteousness of God, and when we don't accept the payment that he made through Jesus Christ on the cross. So if people want to poke fun at me, that's okay. I'm not concerned whether they poke fun or not. The thing I'm concerned about is what does the Bible say? The Bible is God's final answer. And so let them disagree, because the argument is not with me. The argument is with the Bible. And the Bible is very clear. The rapture takes place in chapter 4, verse 1. The tribulation begins in chapter 6, verse 1. The Antichrist is released. And all you have to do is go back and look at past prophecies, like in the book of Daniel, the book of Isaiah, the book of Jeremiah. Even what we saw a week ago, we saw the New World Order, how it was described concerning Ezekiel 38 and 39. The Bible's track record on prophecy, God's track record on his plan, it's written down. It's been the same for years. It's not like we're making this up because the headlines are here. These are things that we've been teaching and preaching for years. And so if people disagree with me, I'm not insulted, because the real truth is, all I can do, I can't make up the plan. All I can do is say, here's what God says. Here's what the Bible says. But you know what? My job is to be a watchman. My job is to warn people that these are indicators that the tribulation's coming. I'm doing it because I care for people. I want to see people being preserved and saved, as opposed to being destroyed by people such as the Bill Gates and such as communist China. That's my concern, my love for people and my love for souls.
Tell me what you think are the one or two strongest verses. And by the way, some people will say, oh, well, this was all, this idea of the rapture, pre-tribulation rapture, was all created by, tell me the name of the guy they always say did that, created this. Schofield and who else?
Schofield and Darby.
Darby. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What are the two strongest verses you have on the rapture of the church?
Right. He says this in Thessalonians. He says that the church will not go through the wrath of God. And when you get to the tribulation, Revelation chapter 6, it's very clear. He said, this is the wrath of God. So if he said we're not going to go through the wrath of God, then why would we be in the tribulation? That's one. Next thing, it's interesting that when you look at the book of Revelation, from chapters 1 through 3, there's over 20 mentions of the church. When you start in chapter 6 all the way through 19, there's no mentions of the word church, and you don't get it again until after 19, when the church comes back down with Christ at the end of the tribulation. Where's the church? They're gone. They're in heaven. They're at the marriage supper of the Lamb, at the judgment seat of Christ. So it makes perfect sense, and the Bible is very clear that these things are exactly how God's laid them out.
And what's interesting, too, is the Bible speaks that the restrainer is removed, meaning the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit isn't moving and working in the life of people during the tribulation, and there will become people who believe and follow Yeshua, our Messiah. We would call them tribulation saints, not Christians, technically, because the church has been removed, but they become tribulation saints. So the Holy Spirit's still moving and working and convicting people and revealing truth to people, but the restrainer stopped restraining. And one of those ways that the Holy Spirit restrains is by the indwelling of Christians, such as yourself, myself, many of those listening and watching tonight. When we stand up for truth, when we speak up, when we see something going on and we say no, when Christian parents go to the school board meeting and say, you're not going to teach LGBTQ transgender to my kids, you're not going to teach Marxism, that's Christians indwelled by the Holy Spirit restraining evil. When we have, as we saw tonight, a sheriff in Racine, Wisconsin, talking about election fraud and crimes, and he wants to be what the Bible describes, Romans 13, a minister of righteousness, what is the purpose of government? That's restraining evil. So there are a lot of people, a lot of key positions in our nation and world that, because they're here as Christians, they're helping through the Holy Spirit to restrain evil. And once the influence of the church is gone and the Holy Spirit stops restraining that evil, it'll come on the world like a flood. The removal of the church alone and dwelt by the Holy Spirit is, I think, one of the largest causes for a lot of the things that happen during the tribulation. Would you agree?
I do. The moral fiber, the quality of life in America really is dependent upon our adherence, I think, to the Judeo-Christian beliefs that our country was founded on. And that's being raised to the forefront by people that know Christ, that are bold in their stand. They're not the only ones, but there's certainly a lot of those. And those are the people that we need to take a stand. Why? See, one of the reasons why I'm not going to try to be popular, I'd rather be right, is because the point is to warn people. The point is to take a stand. Look at the early church. The early church all believed in the soon return of Christ. Even the Apostle Paul said, we who are alive and remain. Paul was looking for Christ to come back in his lifetime. But the early church made an impact. Why? Because they were so confident in the plan of God that they were willing to risk their lives. In the Old Testament, you find people like Daniel. You find people like the three Hebrew friends in the story of Daniel. Why were they willing to risk their lives? Because they believed in the plan of God. They were convinced that they were doing the service of God. And I think that's what we should do. It's not about how well we live. It's about the kingdom of God. And so that says that we stand for righteousness, we stand for what is right, and we're watching the moral fiber of our country dwindle. We're watching evil take over. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says that there's going to be a time when good is called evil and evil is called good. We're at that place. The stuff that people are calling acceptable are totally unacceptable. Disney's whole stand, the transgender idea, the homosexual agenda that's being crammed down people's throats, whether they agree with it or not. Why are we afraid to take a stand? Because we need to be confident in the plan of God that offends a holy, righteous God. And so that's why we need to stand up and be counted, because we know the plan of God.
Absolutely. Let's go to this slide one more time before we wrap up. So you have the rapture, the move of the church. You can get this again for free at BibleTipNow.org and download it. Then you start having the tribulation judgments, and you are saying you believe that we're likely to see famine, manipulated famine to get control of people. Of course, in the U.S., what we're going to see is shortages of food, which means prices will skyrocket. But then you have the sealed judgments, Revelation 6, the trumpet judgments, the bowl judgments. Quickly describe these real quick, and then we have to go.
Okay, the sealed judgments. The first seal that's broken, Revelation chapter 6, that's when the Antichrist is released. He's not released until then. And then the third one is actually the idea of famines. And then there's wars. And so these seven seals are open. On the seventh seal, now seven trumpets announce judgments. And it's interesting because what happens, the Antichrist really begins his demand for worship at the end of the sixth trumpet, the beginning of the seventh trumpet. And the bowls now are intensified. They're even worse. By the time those 21 judgments are done, here's what the Bible says, that if God didn't shorten it to only 7 years, no flesh would be alive. If someone reads chapter 6 through 19 of Revelation, let me tell you this, you'll want to say, I want to be right. I don't want to go through this. You see, we're the bride of Christ. He's not going to beat up his bride before he takes her. He's going to take us out. We're at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We get married to Christ prior to this beating up in the tribulation. And so these 21 judgments are so horrible that in the whole scheme of things, first of all, 1/4 of the population dies because of disasters. Later, another third die. Half the world's population will die in just those two judgments, but they're brought on by the devil, by the Antichrist, and by these people that I think right now are trying to control the whole world and to do the population in, with food shortages and other plagues.
And see, that's the whole thing most people are missing. We can talk about the Great Reset, the New World Order, the Liberal World Order, whatever they want to call it. All of this is just preparing the way for what the Bible says is coming, a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world economical system. And that one-world government and systems will all be run by a one-world leader. So the Great Reset, all of this is just preparing the way for everything we've been talking about tonight. So here's what I ask you in conclusion. If the Bible says all of this is going to happen, and this is a rhetorical question, I know the answer. I don't want the audience to think I'm asking you a question I don't know the answer to, because if I didn't know the answer, it would, you know, to this question, you would have to ask why I do what I do. I know the answer, but I want you to make sure you know the answer. And here's the question. Knowing all these things are going to happen, why do you and I keep standing up and fighting and pushing back?
Here's why. Because I think there are people right now who are listening to this program, and they're undecided about what to believe about the Bible, what to believe about Jesus Christ. This is their opportunity. Here's Noah. Noah was convinced that the plan of God was judgment was going to come. Why? Because they were evil continually. Noah was faithful to preach the truth. It wasn't how many people respond. It's not a matter of that. It's a matter of proclaiming what's the plan of God. So I do it because I think there are one or two people, or hopefully 100 people or 200 people, and they're going to say, you know what? What you're saying makes sense. You know what you're saying? That's what the Bible has said. I meet people in Sam's, and I start talking about this, and they say, yeah, you know what? I really remember as a kid, these were indicators that the Bible mentioned. And I see people going back to the Bible again and say, I'm going to accept the plan of God. I'm going to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's why I continue to do this.
BibleTipNow, BibleTipNow.org. Dr. Rob Lindstedt, you're down there in the Bahamas leading a series of meetings and teaching, correct?
Yes, I am. Having a great time. People down here are close friends. They've been with me on a lot of missions trips, and it's fun to be here. This little island is, they dive for lobster, they fish, and you talk about a paradise. Wow, it's just beautiful. And so we're trying to encourage each other.
There's a picture right there, live from the Spanish Wells, Bahamas. There he is. That's where he's at tonight. And he was promoting.
Yeah, don't.
That. So you're suffering for Jesus in the Bahamas right now.
For Jesus in the Bahamas. Yeah.
Okay. Well, they need to be taught down there. They need good teaching, just like we do. We appreciate your joining us here. We just wish we could all sit and listen to you teach in the Bahamas. But we're so glad you were with us tonight, though, Dr. Lindstedt.
Thanks so much. Good to be with you.
You too. Thank you. Check out his website, folks, BibleTipNow.org, BibleTipNow.org.